The Wall Street Journal podcast are brought to you by American Express. No matter what you do, from business and finance to a podcast about business and finance, it's easier when you don't go it alone. The powerful backing of American Express. Don't do business without it.
Your Money Briefing. Money and market stories from the Wall Street Journal.
I'm J.R. Whalen in New York. Wall Street likes what it sees in Microsoft's efforts to stay competitive in the gaming sector. We'll explain in a moment. First, these money headlines. U.S. consumer prices last month had their biggest jump since the beginning of 2012. One driver of higher prices this year has been gasoline. The average cost of a gallon of regular gas was $2.90 in May, up from $2.48 in December. When excluding the volatile energy and food categories, so-called core prices also rose 0.2%, signaling broader inflation. Now, just to frame everything properly, last year's inflation numbers were weaker, making May's price growth reading appear stronger than it may be. But not all prices rose. While the medical care and education, communication, and new vehicle indexes rose, the food, apparel, recreation, and personal care indexes were flat, and household furnishings and operations and used cars and truck prices fell in May. Competition for law students among law firms escalated in recent days after several national firms boosted starting salaries for recent elite law school graduates to $190,000 a year. Law firms typically raise salaries in line with their peers, citing the need to stay competitive when hiring from law school campuses. Also, many mid-market firms uniformly raised salaries in 2016 to match those of the most elite Wall Street firms. Despite profitability, that makes the business case behind raising salaries vary widely. Now, in terms of average annual profits per partner in the nation's top 100 firms, the American Lawyer Legal Trade publication says they range from $460,000 to $5.7 million. This is your Money Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
This podcast is sponsored by Intel. Not that you would push your computer to new limits, but you could with the 8th Gen Intel Core Processor with Intel Optane Memory. And when I say push, I'm not just talking about opening Photoshop. I'm talking about opening Photoshop and Illustrator and every application on your computer at the same time, just for fun. New computers powered by the 8th Gen Intel Core Processor with Intel Optane Memory are now faster and more responsive, which means you can open, load, and launch like never before. Learn more at intel.com/you could.
Welcome back, everybody. Many in the tech world will have their eyes on Microsoft at this week's E3 conference and how its new games can bolster its Xbox console. Wall Street Journal Heard on the Street columnist Dan Gallagher joins us to discuss how the company plans to stay competitive with its rivals. So, Dan, Microsoft gave folks a peek at its plans and its new crop of offerings already on the gaming side, and one thing not on the list was a drop in price for the Xbox console, and that might take some people by surprise.
I've been covering the E3 conference for years now, and it doesn't happen every year, but it's not uncommon for the console makers like Microsoft, like Sony or Nintendo, to use the event to bring down the price of their consoles, because that's, you know, normally these things launch at a certain price, they're new, and then over time, because they're in the market for a number of years, the price comes down, and as the price comes down, more people buy into it. So it wasn't, there were some leaks kind of before the conference, you know, that they might drop the price, but they didn't, and I, you know, as I wrote, I'm not terribly surprised they didn't, because they have other priorities.
And what Microsoft did do was preview 50 new game releases, including 18 that are exclusive to the Xbox console, and Wall Street likes that approach.
It does. I mean, because Microsoft has really become, and if you look at the company's broader strategy, even outside of games, they're really pushing towards a world where they're trying to maximize, you know, essentially services that use their tools and their software, but not necessarily has to exist on their platform. That's a big difference from the years in which they really wanted everything to exist in Windows, because that was their main money driver. Specific to games, what they're trying to do is bolster the games and the content so that people are, you know, they feed more subscriptions to things like Xbox Live, and that more people are coming to it. And the game business now, I think, is kind of slowly coming out of the focus on just getting consoles out there. Xbox has undersold PlayStation 4 by a pretty wide margin. They're probably not going to ever close that gap, because it's 5 years now and they're well behind. So I think what they're doing is really trying to play to their strengths.
And Wall Street and investors like growth, and across the industry, digital services driven by subscriptions and downloads and in-game sales, that's the leaders in revenue growth in this sector.
It is. It's there. You know, this is where, the focus of the business has really come away from, plastic discs sold at retail. It's more about kind of a sustaining, recurring digital revenue stream. And so Microsoft is putting some big investments here. One thing I didn't mention in my column, but our colleague Sarah Needleman wrote in her story, is that Microsoft also has bought 4 new game studios. These are smaller studios, and they also formed another partnership with one. And these are, again, ways to kind of increase the amount of kind of games and content that they have control over that are going to move over their systems. And that ideally improves the economics even more.
And an example of a game that will benefit Microsoft but does not come from Microsoft is the ever-popular Fortnite game.
It is, and that actually in their latest fiscal quarter, they actually disclosed a really huge jump in revenue from, essentially video game services and software. That was primarily due to Fortnite, because when people are playing Fortnite over the Xbox, you need to have an Xbox Live account and a subscription to be playing that with your friends. Lots of people are playing that game, so Microsoft benefits from that. They do benefit more from the games that they actually own. And I think that's why they're trying to propel more of their own content in this. And, ideally, big hits like Fortnite, it's hard to copy and just say you're going to have that, because those are, by nature, they're a big surprise. But if they get more people using the titles that they own, that's even better economics for them.
And this formula is not expected to go away anytime soon. An analyst you spoke with says, at least for Microsoft, hardware as a share of gaming revenue is expected to steadily decline going forward.
Yeah, because as they grow their services more, as they get more people like using the services on a sustained basis, there's less reliance on that. Console hardware to sell it. It's not going to go away, and they're going to need to continue to sell consoles, because as long as video games remain, a big share of video games are in the console market, they'll have to play there. But for several years, the criticism on Microsoft is that video games were kind of a loss for them, because they would take a loss on the consoles early on. They've come away from that now, and as they've built up more revenue streams in gaming, it's become actually a pretty profitable business for them.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal Herd on the Street columnist Dan Gallagher joining us from our San Francisco bureau. Dan, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.